Matthew chapter 1. We're going to, as we have a just a quick message in Matthew chapter 1, looking at the first 17 or so verses, we read a passage of Scripture that is often overlooked. You start getting into it, and the first words tell most people, I'm going to skip this section. It says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, I could go and spend an entire sermon on this. And the reason we could is this is rich with so much that we could look back and see the promises of God and the faithfulness of God. However, we're only going to look at five individuals tonight in this passage. Rather than a whole looking at all of this list, we're going to focus on five individuals. In fact, it's five women that are specifically mentioned. You know, there, as you think about it, it's often not in Jewish culture. They wouldn't in their lineage write the woman's name. It's almost always the son of or so-and-so begat so-and-so. And yet in the lineage of David, we're going to see five women mentioned, and it tells us a bit of a story. I think even in my own life, there are some special women in my life. Of course, my wife, Krista, she's not here tonight. She got her COVID booster the other day, and she's just not feeling the best. But so hopefully she'll be here on Friday. But she's at home tonight. But she keeps me in line. She brings gentleness and sweetness into our boys' lives. Even tonight, she was teaching Cameron how to cook burritos. You know, she is well-loved and needed in our lives. I think of my mother-in-law, Brenda. She's helpful, supportive, encouraging. She's somebody who every now and then she'll call me with questions about a passage or getting me thinking about upcoming stuff in the Greek. Or even not too long ago, she said, hey, can you adjust the live stream so that we can see the whole choir? You're cutting them up. You know, she's a help. My mom was very special to me, and I always have fond memories of her. Then there's my sisters, and well, we're just going to say they're special to me tonight. But you know, if we would look through this genealogy, we see these five women who are mentioned that are obviously important to this story. Five women that they are special because they're in this lineage. But they also remind us of perhaps ourselves, the types of people the Lord receives. If you look with me, the first one we see is in verse 3. It says, and Judah, the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram. We'll stop there because this sentence isn't going to end for a little while into verse 5. But you see the name Tamar. Tamar is an interesting one. According to the Bible and customs, you start realizing from Tamar. Tamar, according to custom, was to have a husband from among her dead husband's family. Her husband had died, and according to Jewish culture and custom, then a brother was to marry her and have a child, and that would go on to the first son. And it was important because it talked about the lineage. And Jews, it was very important because they were all waiting for the Messiah. And so they wouldn't want to break that line as they're waiting for the Messiah. And here is Tamar inserted into the story. You see, she had a husband, he died, and things kept happening. We won't get into the story in too much detail, but Judah had promised her a husband after all these brothers were failing to do right by Tamar. Well, the story gets a little odd. Judah didn't keep his promise. She was forgotten on purpose. If we would look in Genesis 38 tonight, we'd find the story. Tamar, she dresses like a prostitute, and she tricks Judah and has a child. And then she gets she's pregnant with the child, and it's found out. And Judah finally tells her, you know, that she was more right than he was. And this is a woman that's in the line of Jesus. Don't get me wrong, Tamar, she did wrong. She acted in a wrong way. She was treated poorly. She had multiple sons of Judah who died because of how they treated her. And she had a promise given to her that was never kept. And many people perhaps can feel like Tamar, forgotten, rejected, feel like nobody treats them right and they're all alone, as if nobody cares or if the world would be better off without them. And yet we see this name inserted here, and the question automatically should make you think, why is she here? And it takes you back to the story of this young woman. It tells us that God, when others forget you, when others leave you, when others reject you, God never does. He didn't forget her. And she's in this line for a reason. There are many people who are depressed. They feel alone. People who need encouragement. Tamar is somebody who was once forgotten, but she was never forgotten by God. And instead, she's put in this prominent place. She's listed in the lineage of Jesus. I say this to say, you know, there is hope for us. There is hope for each and every one of you. Even if you feel alone and rejected, that God is alive, God is aware, and God sees. In a special way, he has not forgotten or forsaken those who trust him as Savior. We're going to see, this is meant to be a short message tonight, the next woman. Anybody, if you're glancing through, we just read verse 3. Glance through. Who's the next woman that we see? Rahab. We're going to get to Ruth in a minute, but Rahab. All right, if Tamar is the forgotten woman, perhaps we'd say Rahab is the foul woman. All right, you ever met somebody that you just don't like? You ever met somebody that just, I don't like to be around them too much? Don't say it. I imagine most people, you've been around ones like that. And it's something about it that just comes off wrong. Maybe you can't stand their voice, their laugh, or their accent. I remember one time in college, you know, you'd come in the morning, you're half awake, and you have to get ready for class, and as you're walking in the cafeteria, somebody like, "Good morning, how are you doing today?" And it's like, oh no. Just give me a little bit longer. You know, that thankfully in my family, none of us are like that. You know, sometimes people just rub us the wrong way. Who knows, maybe there's something wrong. But that's Rahab. Or Rahab, she's the woman that nobody would want to be around. Nobody would want to be seen in the market with her. Nobody would hang out with her. If she would be put into the Jewish culture, she is at the very least an outcast. Don't want to be seen by Rahab. She's a prostitute. Probably could have even been stoned. And she's not forgotten. Everybody knows her, but she's treated harshly. And yet, in this story of Jesus Christ and his lineage, you have Rahab, the harlot, somebody who's put in this lineage, an honored position, and you look at her and say, why? You see, God isn't excusing her sinful ways, but again, there's a hope here, a hope that even the most vilest of sinners, even the worst things we can do, there is hope that God can change your life to be used of him. You know the story of Rahab? You know what happens to her? Here's this harlot. And she receives these spies in and she says, I know about your God. And I know what he does. And when Joshua and the Israelites come to take Jericho, she puts that scarlet thread and hangs it out the window. And God spares her. Here's a woman who is changed when she meets God. There is hope. You may have rejected Christ all this time, but God still provides hope. Maybe tonight you're a parent or a grandparent. Maybe there's somebody close to you and you're sitting there going, will they ever change? Will they ever come back? I would wager if I asked us today to just name somebody, I would think most, if not all of us, would have somebody who would come to mind. Somebody close who we say, you know what? I just need a little hope, a little prayer. Rahab, this foul woman, gives hope. There's another one. I heard it said, and it was also in verse 5. We already looked at Rahab. And then you see in the line, it goes, Salmon. Anybody else want to say salmon? Maybe it is salmon. It's spelled like that, isn't it? And Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth. We see our third one, Ruth. She's a foreign woman. Ruth was a Moabitess woman. The book of Ruth in the Old Testament tells of her that she's a foreigner. First of all, you see that story. She comes, she marries the man, and her husband dies, and she goes with Naomi. She goes to Israel. And it's all foreign to her. And while she's there, or while she was with Naomi and them, she ends up placing her faith in the Lord. Later, she marries Boaz. I've always loved the name Boaz. A kinsman redeemer. And just as God receives this foreign woman into his son's genealogy, God receives those who are from outside of the church, or those who didn't grow up in a church, those who didn't grow up in Christianity, those who perhaps they had a life, a culture, a religion of their own. Her place in the Lord's ancestry speaks volumes about God's kindness. It's not only for those who grew up in church. It's not only for those who lived a moral life. God reaches all. He reaches outsiders, ones who feel like they don't belong. And what a joy that redemption brings. One doesn't need to be brought up in the church in order to be received in God's family. It's a matter of faith. As John 1 tells us, and you go through there, it's a matter of faith in Christ Jesus. Not about what background you have. Two more women tonight. The next one we see, anybody find what our fourth woman that is mentioned? We just read in verse 5, we saw Ruth. The next one's not too far away. Bathsheba. You know, notice it didn't say her name. But it does say the wife of Uriah. This is our fourth one, Bathsheba. If we had I'm already drawing a blank. If we had a forgotten woman, a foul woman, a foreign woman, now we have a fallen woman. David and Bathsheba. Now there's many ways and many speculation about the account with David and Bathsheba. Some say, you know, she couldn't refuse a king. She's taken advantage of and abused. I certainly tend to fall in that one. But perhaps, and rightfully so, we could say she also committed adultery. There's a lot of to look at there. Her husband ends up dying in battle. It was murder. There's no better way to put it, at least by King David. But you know what happens? The story of David and Bathsheba, they ended up, they have a child, and the child passes away. But if you look in the life of David, you know what we see? We see forgiveness. And this great tragedy, this great shame, and the story found in 2 Samuel 11 and 2 Samuel chapter 12, we don't know how complicit she may or may not have been in all of this. Maybe she didn't have a choice of what to do, and perhaps only David is at fault. However, her entire life and in all history, she's always seen and mentioned alongside of David. This fall from grace, whether her fault or not, whether or not we think she sinned too or just David, Bathsheba's a reminder of the grace of God, the reminder of forgiveness, a reminder that God sees our sins and our hurts and He provides grace. You know, we all sin, don't we? I sin. You sin. I wish I could say that there I could go days or weeks without sinning, but I'm certain I sin every day. God's not pleased, but there's always forgiveness. probably one of my favorite verses, and I quote it often because it means so much to me. It's found in that 1 John chapter 1 and goes into chapter 2 and verse 2. But it tells us that, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins. Go to him. The understanding of that, I know you know this, you've heard it from me, but the understanding is that every time you go, God is willing to forgive. It's abundant. It's there. He wants to forgive. And so when you look through this list and you're seeing these women, and you, perhaps you're like me and you start seeing yourself, you know, at times when you feel like, does anybody care? God cares. And at times, like even with Bathsheba, you're sitting there going, man, I have messed up. And God says, but I'm not done yet. He's willing to forgive. But when I see these four women and I see the, you know, that we can look at ourselves and say, you know, sometimes I feel like I didn't grow up in church. Maybe somebody here can say that. Maybe I feel like an outsider. Maybe I feel like I'm falling or these different things. I mean, we see one more, the most famous woman in history. We see it all the way down in verse 16. I'm not going to read all these names, but I really encourage you to and just think about these people and who they are and what this story tells us about the promises of God that he had made and how he fulfills this. But in verse 16, you see the last one. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. We see Mary is the faithful woman. Mary is a sinner, yes, just like the rest of us. She is not sinless. She was a sinner. And yet, as we would look, and we have already in Luke chapter 1, she is noticed for her great character, her great faith, her humility. You know, we as Christians, we need to be reminded of the example of Mary. Faithfulness that is pleasing to God. What a wonderful story is. I'm just amazed as we go through these lists and you see these women, and you could even do a similar study on the men, but there was only five women, so it was a little easier to do that one. But if we would go through all of these, you know what we see? You see men and women who have troubled pasts, men and women who've made mistakes, men and women who perhaps don't belong, men and women, you sit there and go, they're in Jesus' line? Why would they include that? That tells us about our great God. It tells us his love and care. But oh, that we could all be like Mary. Faithful, humble, and willing to be used, however. Remember, I'm going to read just one verse. I'm remembering this faithfulness is a quality that pleases God. I'm going to just read as we close in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4 and verse 2. I'm going to go back to verse 1, 2 Corinthians 4, 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. No matter what our past is, no matter what we do, don't lose heart. Don't go back to the old ways. Be faithful in your service to the Lord. Well, that is our message tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll go through our prayer list together. Lord, thank you for this time we can spend together in your word. Lord, you are a wonderful God. And it means so much to me, Lord, to see broken people that are highlighted in your word. People who were at times unfaithful, at times had lived in a life that was unpleasing to you before they met you, who had made mistakes. And I thank you, Lord, for the grace and love that you've shown, the ability to forgive, and you don't forget. But Lord, oh, that we could be like Mary and be found faithful. Thank you tonight for your word, Lord. Even in passages we often overlook, there is so much truth. And even tonight, Lord, there is so much we have overlooked. May we go back and spend time and look at how faithful and loving and kind, how you fulfill promises and keep your word. Thank you, Lord. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you join me, we're going to go through our prayer sheet for